Adventures in Research. You've probably noticed that things sound different to us when we have our eyes closed. What sounds like a forest fire might be only the crackling of cellophane. Or what sounds like an avalanche might be only kettle drums. But there's no mistaking this sound. That's right, the cash register. And this is the story behind this remarkable invention. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of the cash register. Our story begins in Dayton, Ohio in 1878, where we might have strolled into a little cafe.
Hey there, Jake.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, fine, Fred, fine. Can't complain. Well, not too much, anyway.
Well, I should hope not. You're doing right good business here, Jake. Coffee's good, too. Hot.
Nice of you to stop in, Fred.
Well, as soon as I heard you opened a place, I said, well, least I can do is stop by, pay my respects to my friend Jake Riddy. Said to myself, Jake Riddy's got himself a cafe. I'll just stop in and see.
Mighty nice of you, Fred. Now, if you'll excuse me,
Right nice place you got here. Doing a good business, too. Regular little gold mine, I'd say. Reckon you'll be making a mint here if business keeps up the way it started.
Well, thank you, Fred, but really, if you'll excuse me now, I'd better get back to the counter.
Now, hold your horses, Jake. You got plenty of hired help. Don't forget, you're the owner. You don't have to work your head off.
You think so, do you, Fred? Well, you got a lot to learn. The boss has to work harder than anybody.
Oh.
Got to greet people and shake hands. See that we got clean dishes and that people get waited on and get what they want when they want.
Well, you got plenty of help. So you just sit here and rest your legs. Why, money must be pouring in.
Tell you the truth, Fred. I keep so doggone busy, I don't have much of a chance to keep my eye on the cash drawer. When I do look at it, it ain't as full as it should be.
No, now don't come talking poor mouth to me, Jake Riddy. I bet that cash box is bulging with greenbacks.
No, Fred, it isn't. Business is real good. Oh, I know, I got the customers and all that. But still, I ain't making as much as I know I should be. It's got me worried. Real worried.
Nonsense. You got nothing to worry about.
It's that cash drawer back there. I can't keep an eye on it all the time. Money's disappearing out of that cash drawer. It's got me worried, I tell you.
Oh, Jake, you're just working too hard. Tell you what, I got a ship leaving the end of the month. Now, why don't you take a vacation and come aboard? Be a nice cruise. Give you a chance to calm yourself down.
Really? Well, now, that isn't a bad idea, Fred.
Of course not.
Doc Archer told me I ought to take a rest. And a pleasure cruise sounds like fun.
Sure. Why don't you come along? You can get somebody here to tend to the place and look out for your business.
Oh, I'm afraid I got too many people looking out for my business already, Fred. And not enough looking out for Jake Riddy.
So with a doleful glance at the cash drawer back of the counter, James Riddy left his Dayton cafe and at the end of the month found himself on an ocean cruise.
Fred, this is the life.
Didn't I tell you you'd find it pleasant?
I sure do. I feel like my restaurant is a million miles away. You know something? I've completely forgotten about receipts and cash on hand and cash drawers and expenses and overhead.
Now, what did I tell you?
Just sitting here on deck watching the waves and the gulls. Wonderful. Don't even have to turn a hand.
Well, now, I tell you, Jake, this is a mighty nice craft. I'd like to show you around a bit. Hey, come on down to the engine room and have a look. You never saw such an engine in all your born days.
Be glad to, Fred. Providing I don't have to stoke any coal.
Oh, none of that. Shucks, nowadays everything works by machines, so a man don't have to do much anything. Right through this door, Jake. There you be. Ain't that a beauty?
It sure is. What's that big round dial for over there, Fred?
Oh, that, that clock's the revolution of the ship's propeller shaft. Yeah, see?
By itself?
Yep, all automatic. Shows you how many revolutions the shaft is making. From that, you know you're nuts.
By jingo, that is something. You know, Fred, if they can clock and record the movements of a ship's propeller like that, why can't somebody build a device to record sails? Now, that'd cure the raiding of my cash drawer.
Now, Jake, you said you wasn't going to do a whit of thinking on this cruise, and by golly, there you go.
Now, don't bother me, Fred. I am thinking. And if what I'm thinking can be done, Fred, how long will it take you to get me back to shore?
From that instant on, one idea obsessed James Ritty, a machine that would register and record sails. He interested his brother John. Together, they designed and redesigned, built and rebuilt, and finally came up with the first model, which was installed back of the counter in James Ritty's Dayton Cafe.
Clear that space off, Barney. Let me put this down.
Land of Goshen, Mr. Ritty. What's that?
There. That, Barney, is a cash register, and I'm going to show you how to work it. From now on, my books are going to start balancing.
Gosh. How does it work, Mr. Ritty? Looks awful complicated to me.
Oh, no, nothing complicated about it. Simple as ABC. Now, you see these two rows of keys across here?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they got figures on them. Now, when you make a sail, you push down the number that represents the size of the sail, like this. Now, those hands up there, you see them go around this dial?
Yeah, like a clock.
No, it isn't a clock. It's a dial. And it shows you how much money you rung up. One hand registers dollars and the other cents. You ring up the sail and then put the money over here in the cash drawer. Like that 25 cents I just rung up. See?
Land of Goshen. That's right. Fancy. Only one thing, Mr. Ritty, I'm thinking.
Yeah?
Why don't you really put a clock up there? Then we'd know what time it was and wouldn't have to go out to the kitchen to look at the time.
It isn't a clock. It's a cash register. And from now on, Barney, you're going to use it.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ritty.
Oh, Barney, stop! What in tarnation are you doing?
Well, I was just trying it out, Mr. Ritty.
But you can't do that until some money comes in. Otherwise, we'll be as far off in our receipts as ever.
Gosh, I'm sorry, Mr. Ritty.
How much did you ring up, Barney?
I hit this key here. It says $5.
$5. So far, I haven't even used my machine. Already, it set me back $5.
James Ritty's first cash register needed improvement, and he made them in his next efforts. He mounted a wide paper roll inside his second machine. Then, when the keys were depressed, holes were punched in the roll of the paper. And then, at the end of each day, Ritty would check the roll. If there were 10 holes in the 5-cent column, he could see that he had done a 50-cent business in nickel sales. By counting each column, he could arrive at the grand total of sales for the day. Then, other improvements were added, including a new kind of indicator that showed the customer the sale price by means of pop-up numbers. But there was one more improvement still to be made.
Mr. Ritty, about this machine of yours, I've been thinking.
I just as soon you wouldn't, Barney. The last time you did that, it cost me $5. Then the other day, when you hit the wrong key, it took me an hour to unscramble things.
Well, Mr. Ritty, I just wanted to say, you know, if we could move this machine of yours over there, closer to the cash drawer, we wouldn't have to be doing so much walking. Being on my feet all day ain't doing them any good at all, Mr. Ritty, and I was thinking that maybe...
Now, wait a minute, man. Maybe you do have something, Barney.
I sure do. Bunions. I got a bunion here as big as...
I'm not interested in your bunions. You know, we could build the cash drawer right in the machine itself. Yeah. I don't see why not.
Why, sure. That way, whoever wanted to use the cash drawer could just help themselves. Just in a manner of speaking, I mean.
So they could. Maybe I could put a bell on it, Barney, huh?
A bell?
Uh-huh. And then every time the cash drawer opens, the bell would ring. That way, anybody who wanted to get into the cash drawer would have to ring up a sale. Yeah, you know, I think it's a good idea, Barney. A real good idea.
Whether James Ritty actually thought of incorporating the cash drawer and bell into his machine isn't clear. At least he never got around to doing it, never produced that now familiar sound. No, because James Ritty couldn't interest anyone in buying his machines. Merchants, to whom he tried to sell them, said,
Nothing but a newfangled expensive fad.
And the clerk said,
Hey, get one of them thief catchers in this store and I quit.
So Ritty sold his entire cash register business for $1,000, and it was sold and resold until it ended up as the property of a financier named Phillips, George Phillips. And the cash register was called
Phillips Folly.
But, Mr. Phillips, sir...
Phillips Folly, that's what it is. You know it and I know it. The stock of this company isn't worth the paper it's printed on. Every merchant in town laughs at that fool register. Yeah, but here's the point. I've got a customer coming in. He's interested in it.
In Phillips Folly?
Hang it, don't say that. Above all, don't say that when he gets here. This fellow Patterson thinks he might be able to market the thing.
Has he offered a price?
$6,500.
$6,500 for that?
Now, don't you dare say anything to mess up the deal. Don't raise an eyebrow, even. Not one snicker, you hear?
Yes, sir. You can trust me. I won't even mention Phillips Fall... the cash register.
John H. Patterson bought the rights to the cash register. Angered by the jeers and jokes about his purchase, Patterson resolved to make a success of it. He opened what was probably the first modern business training school. He sent his salesmen to school, rehearsed them in their sales talk, and started the National Cash Register Company on its successful way. In 1905, he abolished the hand crank and converted the cash register to electricity. He made sales all over the world and designed registers to record everything from dollars and cents to kopecks and cruzeiros. And as the cash register grew in popularity, beauty, and versatility, it also grew in complexity. Ritty's original machine had 546 parts. The modern cash register may boast some 17,000 and is almost a complete mechanical bookkeeper in itself. Today, this astonishing machine can even compute the amount of change due the customer after every sale. Yes, thanks to a pilfered cash drawer, a ship's propeller, and a $6,500 investment, the cash register is part of our daily lives. Product of another important adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to Armed Forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.